Lekutu Sikha is Chelek Yud Gimel, Sikha, Chukas Beis, Rashi Sikha, with some original, if you will, original explanations, something different than what we've become used to, as well as a explanation, a biur, al pi chassidus, in the whole concept of the nechash ha-nechoshes, what it means to us. So in Parshas Chukas, the Torah tells us the story, how the Eibishter was punishing the Yidden with a magefa, that the nechashim ha-srafim, snakes that would burn, the kind of poison that burns, was coming and killing the Yidden. And the Yidden came to Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Eibishter told Moshe to make a snake that he would put up on a very high banner, on a very high stick, so the Yidden should look up to it, and whoever looked up at the snake would be healed. And the snake was made by Moshe Rabbeinu out of copper, known as the Nechash HaNechoshes, the copper snake. So, Al HaPosik Vayas Moshe Nechash Necheshes, Mighty Grashias Atevis Nechash Necheshes, Umefarish, Le Nemar Le La Seise Shal Necheshes. Rashi explains, Rashi quotes the words Nechash Necheshes, and explains that Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell, the Eibishter did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu to make it out of copper, Ella, and Moshe made it out of copper by himself, his own volition. Why? Ella, Omar Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kerei Nachash, the Eibishter called it a Nachash. V'ani Asenu Shal Nechoshes, I will make it out of copper, Lashon Noifel HaLashon, the term connecting to the term. In other words, Nechoshes sounds like Nachash. Since the Eibishter already said the word Nachash, I will sort of play with a word that Nachash also means, or also Nachash is also connected to Nechoshes. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu made the snake out of copper, because Nechoshes and Nachash have a very similar lashon. V'hinei, Masha Kosev Rashi le'nemar le'laseisa shel Nechoshes. The fact that Rashi starts out and says that the Eibishter did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu to make it out of copper, Rashi's point here seemingly is to point out and to sort of ask the question. In the pasuk, we do not find that the Eibishter commanded Moshe to make it out of copper. So what's bothering Rashi is, why did Moshe make the snake out of copper if we don't find the Eibishter commanding Moshe to make it out of copper? And therefore Rashi comes with an answer, with an explanation, that why did he tell him to make it out of copper? Because since the Eibishter referred to it as a nachash, so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu used something that the term, that its name is similar to the word nachash. So Rashi is bothered by a very simple question. Why did Moshe make it out of copper if Hashem did not tell him to make it out of copper? And he says, even though Hashem didn't say clearly nachashes, but he said nachash, and nachashes sounds like nachash. Therefore, this brings up a number of questions. Four questions, I believe. Yeah. Number one, Arichas Aloshin Lein Nemer Leich Laseisah Shel Necheshes Ela V'chulu. Rashi explains his question. He explains what's bothering him. Hashem did not tell Moshe to make it out of Necheshes, but Moshe did it on his own. Harei Ein Darkei Shel Rashi Lahakti Mesakushi Ba'avonas HaKosov She'oisu Yom Mevayir U'miyashiv B'pirushay. It's very unusual for Rashi to explain this question. Usually, Rashi explains something to us. We have to understand what is bothering Rashi and how Rashi's words answer that question. Here, Rashi actually tells us what's bothering him. He says, "Loi nemar li laseisa shel necheshes, ela amar mali mishar," etc. Beis. It's really the same question, but on a deeper level. Not only is Rashi telling us what's bothering him, which is unusual, here, this thing that's bothering Rashi, this question, is something that's obvious from the pasuk. Sometimes Rashi will tell us a question because we may have a hard time figuring out the question. What's bothering Rashi? But here, we could just look in the pasuk. The pasuk says that Hashem said to Moshe, make a snake, a sarov. Doesn't say anything else. So Rashi should have just said, the Eibush said, make a snake, a nachash. And therefore, Moshe made it out of nachashas. Because it's obvious from the pasuk that Hashem didn't say to make it nachashas. In other words, we would have a very easy time figuring out what's bothering Rashi. So why does Rashi have to explain it? Explain what's bothering him. Gimel. Here's a very simple question. Rashi, case of Amar Mesha, because Baruch Hu Kiri Nochash, V'lachein Ani Asenu Shel Necheshes, Loshin Neifel HaLoshin. Rashi tells us that Eibusher said to make a Nochash. So Mesha said, I'll make it out of Necheshes. Harei Mefurish Bikra, Shekos Baruch Hu Karei, the truth is that in the pasuk, Eibush does not use the word nachash; he uses the word sarav. So the whole hesber of Rashi is that he made it out of nachashes, copper, because nachashes is the same lashon as nachash. L'cheira, the Eibush did not tell Moshe the word nachash; the Eibush used the word sarav, which has no connection to the word nachashes. So what's the explanation? What's Rashi's answer of why did Moshe Rabbeinu make the snake out of nachashes? Dalit. And the question Dalit, it's important to, if you haven't yet, to look inside the Chumash to see the Seder, the order of Rashi. What happens is that the Pasuk says, Vayas Moshe Nechash Necheshes, Vahoya Kol HaNashuch, etc. Whoever will be bitten by the snake will look up at the snake, and they'll be healed. So the pasuk Rashi explains in Ariches on Rashi explains the words v'hoya im nashach anashach anachash, which will be quoted a little bit later in the sicha that wasn't the nachash that was healing, but it was the fact that they were looking up towards Shamayim that was bringing down their healing. After this, Rashi quotes Nachash Nechashis and explains that Moshe made it out of Nechashis because Lashon Neifel HaLashon. So really the words Nachash Nechashis come before V'haya Kol HaNashuch. And Rashi's explanation, his explanation on Nachash Nechashis comes after his explanation on V'haya Im Nashach HaNashuch. So the question Dalad is, Madua Rashi Mefarash Rashi Tevas Nochosh, Tevas Nechash Nechashis, La'ach Reshi Mefarash HaTevas V'haya Im Nashach HaNashuch, Es Ish V'hibit V'goymar, Hepech Seder HaKosuf. Why does Rashi explain the words Nachash Nechashes after the words V'haya Im Nashach HaNachash if the words Nachash Nechashes come in the pasuk before V'haya Im Nashach HaNachash? So very simple. Rashi's explanations on this pasuk come differently than the way they are in the pasuk. So basically our questions are, number one, why does Rashi emphasize the fact that the Eibusher did not tell Moshe to make it out of Nechashes, something that seemingly is obvious from the pasuk. Number two, why does Rashi say that the Eibusher called it Nachash if the Eibusher actually uses the word Sarav? And number four, what the Seder of Rashi seems to be opposite from the pasuk. Beis v'abir boze. So now the explanation is as follows. Earlier on, when it says how the Magefa, how the Einish happened, it says that the Eibusher sent out Nechashim Hasrafim, snakes that burn. Pirish Rashi, so Rashi explains, Nechashim Hasrafim, Sheserfim Es Ha'odom Be'eres Shineim, that they burn the person with a poison from their teeth. Hainu. Shatevas hasrafim hu toyar l'nechashim. The word hasrafim is a description of what the snakes are doing. Kileimar hanechashim shesorfim, snakes that are burning. Umikivan shamiras hakadosh baruch hu l'moshe asei l'chasorof hu behemshich levayishlach Hashem geimar hanechashim hasrafim. So now, when the Eibishter says to Moshe asei l'chasorof, in continuation, in reaction to what the fact that the Nechashim Hasrafim were hurting the Yidden, had a move on Shapiru Shel Saraf Kan, who Shem Hatoyar Miloshen Sreifas. When the Eibishter says Saraf, is a description as the burning things, and not Min Nochosh, and not a kind of snake. In other words, there are certain mefarshim, like Mashal the Ramban, says that Saraf is a kind of snake. Nochosh is a general name for all snakes, and Saraf is a kind of snake. Just like in English, you have a rattlesnake, a garden snake, and these other different types of snakes. In Hebrew also, you have a Nochosh, which is a general name, and then you have different kinds of snakes. One kind is called Saraf. The Rebbe is understanding from the Pasuk not like that. The Rebbe is saying that Nechashim HaSrafim is not that Srafim are a kind of snake. Nesrafim is just a description of what the Nechash does. And therefore, when he says, Aseilecha Saraf, he doesn't mean make a Saraf, a kind of snake called Saraf. He means make the snake that its description is that it burns. The Lachan Tzarech Leimar. Therefore, Hashem couldn't have said, make a saraf, because a saraf is not a snake. A saraf is just a description of a snake. Therefore, it must be that when the Pasuk says, Aseilecha saraf, what really happened is that Hashem said, Aseilecha nochash saraf, make a snake that burns. Nochash, Shema Etzem, Nochash is the name of what it is, Hasayrif, the description of what it does, that it burns. So in other words, here's a very interesting chiddush, that the Torah says that Hashem said, Aseilu Chasaraf. And in truth, what actually happened was that the Eibishter said to Moshe, Aseilu Nochash Saraf. Couldn't have said just Saraf, because Saraf is not a snake. Saraf is a description of a snake. So that has to be that just like it says, Anachashim Asrafim, also Hashem said to Moshe, Aseilecha Nochash Saraf. So immediately you're going to ask, then why doesn't the Pasuk say it? Why does the Pasuk not say, Aseilecha Nochash Saraf? So the Rebbe responds to that. So why does the Pasuk not say the word Aseilecha Nochash Saraf if that's what Hashem actually said? So he explains like this. According to Pshutei Shel Mikra, it's understood that the Torah does not say out, does not delineate every single detail of what the Eibishter said to Moshe Rabbeinu. We find numerous times where the Eibishter's commandment to Moshe was only said in a general way. Only later, when Moshe talks it over to the Yidden, or he fulfills it, do you see the details of what was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, first of all, Pipashtus. The Eibishter spent a lot of time with Moshe Rabbeinu. Not every single thing that the Eibishter told Moshe ended up in the Torah. There's some things that till today we don't know about. The things we do know about is because when Moshe told it over to us, or when Moshe actually did it, we learned what were the details that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Torah itself doesn't tell us all the details when it's telling us what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, for an example, he mentions from Chumash Bereishis, Kalahere Kayim Shivasayin Yukam, where the Pasuk is very short. The Pasuk doesn't say whole thing that the Eibishter told to Kayin. But what it means to say is that whoever, it says, the Kayin was going to last for seven generations, then he'll be punished, but in the meantime, no one should hurt Kayin. Doesn't say that exactly in the Pasuk. But we understand, from afterwards, we understand from what happened, what exactly was told to Kayin. So it does happen like this, that, and it's obvious, because the Torah is written, Balashin Ketzara, the Torah is written concisely, so clearly there must be more than what we find in the Torah. So it's possible that the Eibishter said something to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then when Moshe Rabbeinu told it over, or did it, he did more than might have been said to him, because we don't know everything that was said to him. Since it's clear that Moshe would never say, command something or do something on his own, without hearing it from the Eibishter. It's obvious that anything that was that's added on in the Torah, either when Moshe is talking to the Yidden or when Moshe is fulfilling what that which the Yidden told him, that which Hashem told him to do. So all of these details, Nemru Lemeshe Mipi Agvura, were told to Moshe by the Eibishter, Be'eshe Tzivo, when he was commanded for it. Elishalin is Parashat Shem B'Torah, just they weren't explained in the Torah. So this idea that Moshe should do something that Hashem didn't tell him directly is not a problem, because Hashem did tell it to him directly. Just when the Torah was written, the Torah didn't spell out all the details that Hashem told Moshe. So therefore, Valderech Zabinidin Didan. So therefore, in our case, clearly, when the Eibishter commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Nachash, he told them both the words Nachash and Saraf. Asei lecha Nachash Saraf. In response, in reaction to the fact that the Nachashim were Nachashim Asaraf. Ela shateira leparta, ela Saraf. The Torah only says the word, expresses the word Saraf. Ve'atam. The making of the nachash and nachashus of the snake was to save the Yidden from the punishment of the nachash and nachashus. Since the punishment, since the pain was coming because of the fact that they were burning the person, therefore the Torah emphasizes the main detail, which is the saraf, because that's what was bothering them. Especially since earlier he already used the words Hanachashim Hasrafim. So now he says the word Saraf, which is referring to what's actually bothering the Yidden, hurting the Yidden. But it doesn't mean that he didn't say the word Nachash. He just, the Pasuk emphasizes the word Saraf, because that's what was hurting, bothering the Yidden. But when the Eibishter said it to Moshe, he said both Nachash Saraf. So this answers the question Gimel. If the Eibishter didn't say the word Nachash, and the answer is the Eibishter did say the word Nachash. And the fact that it's not in the Pasuk is not a raya that Hashem didn't say it, because it's common for the Eibishter to say certain things and they not be written in Torah, and we only discover it later. And the fact that the Eibishter chooses the word Saraf and not Nachash is because Saraf was the main thing that was hurting the Yidden. This will answer question Dalet. Question Dalet is, why does Rashi explain the Chas Nechashas only after he explains V'hoya im Nashach HaNachash? And it's as follows. Based on what we just said, that even though the Eibishter did not say the word Nachash, nevertheless, the Eibishter did say the word Nachash. In other words, we introduced a concept that the Rebbe says is Alpi Pshutei Shel Mikra, move on, but it's not something that we've emphasized in the past, that it's possible that the Eibishter said something, those words did not end up in the Pasuk, even though they were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So based on this, if this is the fact, we have a question in the opposite direction. How does Rashi know that the Eibishter did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu to make the snake out of copper? Why can't we say that just like the Torah, just like we're saying that the Eibishter said make a nachash, and it just wasn't said out in the Torah, so too the Eibishter said nachashus, and it just wasn't said out in the Torah, and the way we know about it is because Moshe actually made nachashus. In other words, how does Rashi know that the Eibishter did say the word nachash, and just didn't write it in the Torah, but did not tell Moshe to make it out of nachashus, and that's why it's not in the Torah? So in order to undo this idea that Hashem did say the word Nechayshas. It just wasn't the Spanish Patera. Therefore, Rashi has to first bring the explanation on the words. What does he say? What does Rashi say? That someone who was bitten by the snake was not immediately healed. Elim Kane Mabit by Bekavana had to look intently at the snake. In other words, if he just glanced at it, nothing would happen. The person, the hibit, the fact that he uses the lashon vehibit, not vera, something like that, that he had to look deeply, intently at this nechash and nechashis, and then he would be healed. V'yomer Rabbi Seinu. And the Chazal tell us, v'chinochash meimis seinochash mechaya. Does a snake kill? Does a snake heal? Give life? When the Yidden would look up towards heaven, look upwards, and they would dedicate, they would give over their hearts, dedicate their hearts to their Father in heaven. How you miss it happen? This would heal them. But if they wouldn't do that, in other words, if they didn't look up, or even if they looked up, they weren't meshabed, they didn't give over, they didn't dedicate their hearts to the Eibishter, they would disintegrate. The Bazem Muzbar, so by this Rashi it's explained, the job of the snake was not to heal the person that was bitten. Because then you would say that just like you have to make it in the shape of a snake, you have to make it nechashis. If the healing came from the fact that it was a copper snake, then you have to make it copper, you have to make it a snake, because that's where the healing is coming from. But since this Rashi is telling us that it wasn't the copper snake that was healing the Yidden, the whole job of the snake was just to awaken the Yidden to look upwards. And then they would give over their hearts, they would dedicate their hearts to the Eibishter, and that would bring the healing by Hashem. So based on this, for this action, for this effect of the snake, it doesn't matter what material it's made out of. And therefore, there's no reason to say that the Eibishter told him to make nechashis. Once I know from the Rashi that the fact that there was a snake, a copper snake, had very little to do with the healing of the Yid. The healing of the Yid came from the fact that he was looking upwards and being mishabed his heart to the Eibishter. I now know that it can't be that Hashem would say make it out of copper, because the copper part played no role in the healing of the Yidden. So why would the Eibishter say make it out of copper if copper has no purpose, has no meaning? And therefore, after this, Rashi is going to say in a moment, Rashi says, Le'amad el-Aseh on the Cheshas. After Rashi introduced this concept that the Nechashas played no role in the healing of the Yidden, after this, Rashi could say that Eibishter did not tell Meisha to make it out of Nechashas. But before we get to that, you might want to ask, one second, if the Nechash wasn't the healing, it was the Mistaklin Klapi Maila, then why make it as a Nechash? Why don't you make a different shape? So this is not a good question. In other words, the nachash part is important. Making it in the shape of a snake, that is obviously understood what the benefit of it is. Because when the person that was bitten will see the very thing that hurt him, this will awaken him to tshuva. Especially in this case, where the punishment, it didn't just come from a snake. It was connected to what the snake represents. The snake that was punished for speaking, for his words, for speaking out to Chava, will punish those who spoke out against Eretz Yisrael. Yovei nachash shekol aminin v'chulu. Let the snake, that everything that it eats tastes the same, it all tastes like dirt. Let him come and punish those who had the ability, those who are so unthankful for the fact that they were able to eat anything, one thing that tasted like anything. The nachash, whatever it eats, it tastes like one thing. The yidden, whatever, they ate one thing, it tasted like anything. And they couldn't appreciate it. So the punishment that the yidden got was connected to the fact of the snake, to the concept of the snake. So it wasn't that they were bitten by the snake. They were punished by something that was represented in the snake. So it's obvious that when they'll see the snake, this will awaken them to look upwards. This will awaken them to rededicate themselves to the Eibishter. So it's sensible, it's logical that the Eibishter told the Yidden to make a nachash, not a sarof, which is a description, but actually use the word nachash. So the fact that he told him to make a nachash, that's understandable. Nechayshes has no purpose, like we said before, because Nechayshes played no role in the actual healing of the Yidden. So once Rashi says this, now Rashi could come and tell us on the words Nechash Nechashes, that Eibishter did not say to make it out of Nechashes, because there's no relevance in the fact that it's copper to the effect of the Nechash. This, by the order of Rashi, is different. Because Rashi's question that he didn't tell him to make a nechashis only becomes a question after Rashi explained that the nechashis had no role in the healing of the Yidden. So now comes the question: why take? Why take did Moshe make the nechash out of nechashis? The aid. And the Torah expresses the fact that Moshe made it out of Nechashes, which obviously seems that it's an important detail in the story. The Eibishter said, Nachash, I will make it Nechashes because Loshen Neifel Loshen, because the terminologies, the terms are connected. This is the reason why the Torah tells us that Moshe made the snake out of copper. To teach us this limud, that there is a relevance in halacha where we use a lashon, we use a term to affect another term. We borrow a term one from another, so that way. From this we know that the name means something. That over here, that the name of something is actually relevant. So therefore, if the Eibishter said nachash, I want to make it out of something that sounds like nachash, and the what sounds closest to nachash is nechashis, and therefore the Eibishter makes it out of nechashis and teaches us that you could use the one term nachash to teach me what material to make it out of nechashis. And there may be other relevances to this as well. Because the name of something means something. So if it's Nechashes, it actually has a relevance to what we're making. If we're making something here that's trying to heal what came from a Nechash, we want to make it out of Nechashes because that'll be part of the healing. So this answers our questions. A question, Dalid. We explained at length, which was the Seder HaInyonim. Question Aleph and Beis was, why does Rashi say, Le Nemar Le Lasesis Shal Nechashas? The question was, why does Rashi have to say it? But it's obvious now why Rashi has to say it. Because the yeis that Rashi is coming on the premise that not everything that the Pasuk skips out was actually skipped out by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. So now it's clear that Rashi has to say, tell us that even though Hashem did say Nachash, and that was not in the Pasuk, but Leinemar Lelaseses on Nachashas, Moshe was not told to make it out of Nachashas, because the Nachashas part has no relevance other than the fact that Lashon Nefel HaLashon, which was Moshe's initiative to make it out of Nachashas, because Lashon Nefel HaLashon. Now we go to Eis Dalet, the Yena Shalteira, the Chassidus and the Herois, on this Indian of Nechash and Nechashas. We still have to understand a little bit better what was the pa'ula of the Nechashas. What was the effect of the Nechashas on this process of healing the Yidden? Now, that we said before that it was Lashon Nefel HaLashon and Shema Milsehu, that it's all in the name, it's all in the words. But how does it truly affect the Yidden in their healing from the Neshichas HaNechashim, from the being bitten by the snakes, and the Nechash and Nechashas? So this we're going to have an Eis Dalet. Minyanim Dina Shalteda Amirumazim Bepirish Yashizeh. Bekivon Shazesh Meisha Asa Anachash on Nechashas Nemer Bateira. The fact that Meisha made the Nachash out of Nechashas was said in Teira. Ha Gufa Eichach B'Pnimisa Inyanim. This is a proof that in Alpi P'Nimisa Inyanim, and in a deeper level, Shagam Prat Zeh Yesh Teishaychus L'Klolos Inyan Rufua Shabal De Anachash. This detail, the detail of the fact that it was made out of copper, is actually relevant to the Rufua, to the healing that came through the Nachash. So first we have to explain what is the idea of the healing of the Yidden coming through a snake. Those who were bitten by the snakes, who are able to kill with their bite, if not for the fact that they looked up at the Nechash and Nechashas, they would die. Already, once they were bitten by the snake, since if they won't look up at the snake, they will die. So they are already in the category of being dead. Neisif lazeh. B'chinas Nechash atzmai, moire al inyan amisa. The Nachash itself represents the idea of Misa. The whole idea of death in the world comes from the snake, from the Chet Tzadas. There were four people, Binyamin ben Yankiv, and Yishai, Avi David, and David had a son named Kalev, or Kilov. There were four people that did not deserve to die because they had no chet, and the only reason they died was b'it yishol nachash meis, so because of the sin of the snake. So the snake, and not only these yidden who were bitten by the snake were b'chinas meisim, they were basically practically dead. The whole idea of the snake is one that brings death to the world. And therefore there had to be that the person should look at the snake in order to live, to bring life back to this person. From this it's understood. So someone who was bitten by the snake, and then he looked at the nechash and nechashas, at the copper snake, and he came back to life. What happened to him was similar to tchias ameisim. He was dead, and he became alive. On their own, they were already dead. So by looking at the snake and getting their life back, they came back to life. Now he brings some chassidus that tchias ameisim doesn't come from the makir achayim, from the source of life which we have when we're alive. When we're alive, we're living from the source of life. But that only works as long as we're alive. Once we're dead, we can't go back to that original source, because we're already dead. We have to go back to a higher source that could inject us with life in order to live from the Mokir Achaim. That's what he says inside now. V'ini yodua, sha'akoyach l'achyes ha'sames, the koyach to resurrect, to bring life back to something that's already dead. It can't come from the source of life. Once the chayis left the person's body, you can't go back to the same source to give it life, because that life is already gone. To resurrect, to bring life back to something that was alive and died, you have to go back to the level of Rachmim Rabim, which is an Atzmus Eirin Seif that's higher than Makar Achayim. The Shah Mavis V'chayim Shavim, over there, life and death are on an equal level. Even the dead person could live. So, that we're experiencing Tchias HaMesim, we have to go to a much higher source of life in order that the fact that the person is dead should not affect the Chayas to work. And this is why the Yidden had to be healed through looking at the Nechash and Nechashas. Since the life is coming from Atzmus, which over there life and death are equal, Nasa is hapcha me'akotze la'kotze. This is creating an ishapcha, a total transformation from one extreme to the other extreme. Shegama nochash sheinyone misa nishapich sheyase be'amokim chayim, so that even nochash, which represents death, should be transformed, that the Eibishter should turn it into something of life. So that's the idea of the nechash anecheshes. What was happening over here was we were taking nochash, which is the inyan of misa, of death, and turning it into something of life. We were going to a place where mavas v'chayim shavim, that the very thing that causes death, namely the nachash, could be the very thing that causes the life, v'hi bitl nachash anachashas v'choy. Because we're going to the level of atzmus, where shama mavas v'chayim shavim. This idea, to be able to draw down from Atzmus, to transform the Nachash into life, the Chinachash Mechaya, who are the Akdamas Avedis of Tshuvas Bnei Yisrael, B'dugmasa Shapulas HaMshacha. This has to come only through, first, the Yidden doing Tshuva, in the same area of what you want to draw down the life to this Yidden. This is what Rashi says. Alish Yisrael mistaklin klape maila umishabdin es libam lavim shvashamayim. Shibud. Shibud means a total dedication or a total serving and slavery, enslavement. Hainu halev kule gama yetzahara b'chines nachash aboy. The entire lev, even the yetzahara, even the nachash of the person, is totally dedicated to the Eibishter. Instead of the fact that originally he was opposed to Kedusha, he transforms his Yetzirah to be dedicated and given over to Elokus. And that's how you create Chayis in Kedusha. Hanochash Mechaya. Aveda Zupayelas, this Aveda, that you take your Lev, including your Yetzahara, and your Mahapichit to serve the Eibishter, that's how you create, because it's Hapcha Sitra Achra Ba'ilam, you transform the Sitra Achra in the world. Asha Cheshach Atzmeyor, that the light, that the darkness itself illuminates. Shekama Nochash Atzmeh, Shinyoni Moves, Yehofech Liyes Nimshechas Al Yodei, Pchina Sachayim. That the Nochash itself, which represents death, should be transformed, that through it you could bring down life. So now we understand what's a little bit al pipnimis anyanim, what's happening with the nachash. The nachash is the union of misa. The nachash is being transformed, that in itself, the nachash itself, which is misa, should be what's mechaya, should be what's creating life. Of course, the nachash itself is nothing. A nachash can't kill, it just represents misa. And in this case, it's representing the v'choy. How is this happening? This is happening through the aveda of the yid. When the Yid transforms his Yetzirah, his Nachash, that it should be totally given over to the Eibishter to serve Hashem properly, then he could create in the world, that the Ishapcha in the world, that the Nachash, which represents death in the world, should be what gives life to the world. Al pisa muvenes hashaychas din nechayshas la'anachas, shayoda nim shechayis l'bnei Yisrael. Now, based on this, we'll understand the idea of the nechayshas. Ki gam nechayshas meira al p'china amislabeshas b'klipas. Also, nachas represents a level that is enclosed in klipas. This is why Nechashas has the same terms, the same shayrish as the word Nachash. The term connects to the term. Because its name represents the chayis that it gets to exist. So it's called Nechashas because it comes from Nachash, because it comes from Klipas. When you transform the nachash of the world, through a person changing his own yetzahara, his own nachash, you affect the nachash of the world. This also affects nachashas, which is also klipa in the nachashas of the world. So now we understand why Moshe made it out of nachashas. Because the whole idea of what's happening over here is that we're trying to create a ishapcha. We're trying to transform death to life. We're transforming death to life by transforming a yetzahara to be totally given over to the Eibishter. So if I have to choose a material, I'm going to choose a material that represents klipa, because this is going to be transformed to give life. Klipa is the opposite of life. And the nechash and nechashes, not only was it a nachash, which represents Misa, but it was also made out of Nechayshas, which represents Klipa. And that was transformed through the Yidin's Tshuva to bring life, bring Chaim and Oir to the Yidin. Now we're going to go back to the fact that the Eibishter did not say the word Nachash in the Torah. In other words, originally we explained that the Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kerei Nachash. Apes are called it Nachash, even though it didn't say Nachash clearly in the Torah. We explained al Pesutos al Mikra that not everything that the Apes had told Moshe Rabbeinu went into the Torah. So the Apes actually did say Nachash Saraf, but in the Torah it doesn't say the word Nachash. Although Hashem did say the word Nachash. So al Pichsidus we're going to explain, or al Pipnimisanyan we're going to explain why is it that the Torah doesn't say Nachash even though Hashem says Nachash. Very beautiful. Based on this, we'll understand the reason why the Torah does not say the word Nachash, even though the Eibishter himself did say the word Nachash. There's a Maimer Chazal in the Medrash that says they asked the Torah, what is the Einish, what is the consequence for a sinner? So the Torah answered, Yavi Asham v'yischaperle. He brings a carbon. Asham, he brings a carbon, and he will be healed. Shalila kadosh baruch hu. There's a whole bunch of different recipients to this question. They asked Nevuah, etc., etc. I don't remember. So they asked the Torah. The Torah says an Asham. So then they asked the Eibishter, the last one. They asked the Eibishter himself, what's the consequence of the chayta of the sinner? Amarle. So the Eibishter answered, Yasa tshuva v'yiskaper lo. He should do tshuva and he'll be healed. He'll be forgiven. To lechera, had a gam al pi mai nater yavi asham v'chulu. So rechlias yasa tshuva so davka mechaper akarben. What is Hashem adding on the Torah? The Torah says bring an asham. Even according to the Torah, there has to be tshuva. Only when a person does tshuva and he's ready for the kaparas avinus, then he brings a carbon. Without tshuva, the carbon, what does the carbon accomplish? So then the Eibishter comes and says, do tshuva. What's the Eibishter adding on to what the Torah says? V'abir baza. Al pi amayna de Torah. According to what Torah says, bring in asham. Me'eles ha-tshuva. The tshuva affects. She'as deinis nasim kishgagas. This deinis, the deliberate sins, become like inadvertent sins. V'leishin is kaper legamri. But not that the person was totally forgiven. That's why he has to bring an asham. Because after he downgraded his avedis from a mezit, from a deliberate sin, to a shaygig, to an inadvertent sin, then mahani akarbin, shall the akarbin miskapar ashaygig. Then he brings the carbon, and the carbon will accomplish that the shaygig will be forgiven. And this is the chiddus of the Eibister's answer. Shachuva mechaperes gamal azidoynitz v'achinasim kizachis. As far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, the zidoynitz are forgiven totally with tshuva. The zidoynitz nasim lekizachis. Bitzad the Torah's answer, the tshuva downgrades it from zidoynitz to tshuva. The tshuva downgrades it from zdeinus to shgagus. And then he has to bring the asham to complete the forgiveness. According to Torah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need the carbon because the tshuva itself is zdeinus nasalik is zachias mamish. The zdeinus are totally transformed into zachias. Ve'atam loza. Mitzad ha-Torah, yeshna medida v'shir. From the perspective of Torah, there is a limitation, there's a measurement. Therefore, tshuva does not have the power to completely forgive the person for his zedoinus, because Torah can only go so far. But from the Eibishter's perspective, which the Eibishter is beyond any form of limitation, no one could tell Hashem what to do. Another pasuk that says that if you do a lot of avedis, it doesn't affect the Eibishter. This explains that there's a certain level in Elokus Hashem that is so high that is totally unaffected by our avedis or by our mitzvahs. On that level, the Eibishter is totally unlimited and therefore totally unaffected by our avedis. If we could reach the level of Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on that level, through tshuva, even our Vedas, b'mezid, could be transformed into zachis, into mitzvahs. Because on that level of the Eibishter doesn't see, is not limited to mitzvahs and avedas. Doesn't see us on that level. So here's a phenomenal concept. That the Torah, that was written by the Eibishter, that was given to us by the Eibishter, is written in an eifin that there is medidas v'shir. There's measurements, there's limitations, there's boxes. There's you got to do this, and you can't do that. There's a mitzvah, this mitzvah haseh, this mitzvah leis haseh. There's punishments. We can't circumvent them, because the way the Eibishter gave us the Torah, he gave it to us in these boxes. And therefore, if a person doesn't have Torah, it's not enough to do tshuva. You have to bring a carbon. But if we're able to go to the Neisna Torah, to the Eibishter on the level before he gave the Torah, which is the Eibishter on the level of Miyemer Le Matasa, V'Rav B'Shech Matasa Le, the Eibishter is not limited to the very limits that he made in the Torah. And therefore, the Kvizden is not slik as Achis. And that happens, the same thing in our case. The Eibishter, Hatziv Yaseh Lecha Nachash, Shal Yidezeh V'Hibit V'Gemer V'Choy, Einem Afuris Batera. The word Nachash, and the commandment, make a Nachash, which will create life for a Yid who looks at it. It's not clearly written in the Torah. With Torah alone, it would not be able to transform this Zdeinus, which is the idea of Nachash and Misa, of death, into Chaim, into life, and Zachias. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kairoi, Lezek Yishmabitim Ala Vachoy, Nachash. But the person who goes and looks at the snake and commits mishabed liboi la'avivish ha'shamayim, the Eibishter calls it nachash. Hakeyach shegama nachash yafech li'in shel chayim. The Eibishter gives kayach that this nachash should be transformed into something of life. Hainu shegam b'chinas gimul ha'klipis yafech l'tev. This This comes from the Eibishter, who is the Neisna Teira, which is even higher than Teira. In other words, within Teira itself, there's the Teira, the way the Eibishter gave it to us, and then there's the Eibishter, which is higher than Teira, has even more power than Teira, so to speak, that even though Al-Pi Teira itself, according to the rules, a Nachash can't become an Inyan Shel Chayim, therefore, the Torah doesn't say the word nachash, which nachash represents misa. It can't be v'hibit al nachash and nachashas v'choy by aseilach nachash. But the Eibister HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keri Nachash, the Eibister has the power that he can turn the Nachash into something of Chaim, through the Yid's Tshuva, there could be a total transformation of Zdeinus Nasalik Yizachias, that Misa becomes Chaim, there could be a Tchias HaMesim Mamish from the level that's higher than Makir HaChaim. And that is what was happening with the Nachash and Nachashas. That Meisha made a Nachash and Nachashas, that he made something that represented Misa and Klipa, but it had the power of Ishapcha to being life to the Yidden from the highest level of the Eibister, from the Neis Natera, from the Atzmos in itself that's higher than the Makir HaChaim.